Saints, let's be seated and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read verse 21 together. 2 Timothy 2:21. And then we'll enjoy it a little bit. In this session, we come to the children's work in the church. This is very enjoyable. Amen. Okay, ready? You got it? Let's read. If therefore anyone cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared unto every good work. Amen. If therefore, amen. And for anyone, amen. Amen. Himself. Amen. Amen. From these. He will be a vessel unto honor. Vessel unto honor. Amen. Unto honor. Amen. Sanctified. Amen. Useful. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Useful to the master.
Amen. 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 Prepared. Prepared unto every good work. Good work. Amen. Vessels prepared. Amen. And one more verse, chapter 3, verse 17. Let's read this one and enjoy this one too. That the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. That the man of God. Amen. The God-man. Amen. May be complete. Complete. Amen. Amen. Fully equipped. Amen. Amen. Equipped. Amen. Fully equipped. Amen. For every good work. Prepared unto every good work. Amen. Equipped for every good work. Mentioned last night briefly, these two verses are like sister verses. We like to apply, whether we should or not, I'm not too clear, but we'd like to apply 2 Timothy 2:21 to the children's work. For several reasons. First of all, it speaks of vessels unto honor, prepared, and it uses this word prepared. And over the recent years, we've come to know that the children's work is really a work of preparation. I drew a diagram on the board last night, and I'll repeat it today. It's a timeline of a child maybe from 0 to 25. And this first stage of the human development, 25 years, is really in these kind of two sections. this maybe from 5, and you'll see 5 years old on the outline, and that's why we put it there. It's not strict, it's not legal, it's not bound by anything. But we realize that this stage in a child's life is what we call BC, before Christ, before regeneration, maybe it's BR, huh? Before God-man. I don't know what you, BGM, I don't know. Before Christ, BC is quite clear. And it's a, these are vessels, and this is a time of preparation. So we use that verse, 2 Timothy 2:20, 2 Timothy 2:21. And it's interesting to me that it's prepared unto every good work. Then in the second stage, this is after they got born again, they're not just vessels, of course they continue that, but they're called the man of God. Now they are a God-man. And this time, this part is a time to equip them, complete them. It's a perfecting time. Complete them, which is the same as perfect. This is called, this is what the brothers refer to as the mending ministry. This is where you put into the vessel all the things. And that's why we use 2 Timothy 3:17. Now, this is not a doctrinal or a statement. It's just kind of a practical application. Okay? Now, in this session, what we want to do is we want to begin to talk about the children's work in a particular way. We would like to present a vision over these next 3 sessions that should become a governing and controlling vision concerning our work with the children. Already we got to see in that the parents play such a critical role in raising up the next generation. But then it's very important for us to see what do we need to put into them, how do we need to shape them, what are the critical elements that need to go into the children. How should we focus our labor? As I mentioned, many of us, we grew up in Sunday school, and we may have brought a Sunday school kind of mentality or culture or concept to our children's work. We felt that maybe they need a lot of education in the Bible, in the divine truths, in even some of the spiritual practices. But as we were looking at the ministry, examining all the messages, every time our brother, Brother Lee or Brother Nee, spoke about the children's work, he spoke about it in a very definite, specific, and detailed way. And the way he talked about it has left a deep impression upon us and is now kind of a controlling vision. This is what we'd like to pass on to you in these next 3 sessions. This one is the importance of the children's work in the church. The next one is on the children's work, having the increase of the church also through the children's work. And then the third one is on the children's work being to build up the children in their humanity to be proper human beings. Now, these things, this touches the central view of our work with the children. I think as we go through this, you'll be quite impressed, at least I hope you will, with how our brothers, both Brother Lee and Brother Nee, how they viewed this kind of labor. Okay, so you ready? The importance of the children's work in the church. In this chapter, this is chapter 10 in the book. In this chapter, when Brother Lee began to speak, I can tell you this is probably one of only maybe 1 or 2 entire messages, complete start to finish messages that Brother Lee gave on children's work. He started with the children's work. He ended it with the children's work. Normally, he would just comment about the children's work here and there. But we found a message. It was given, this was given during those God-ordained way years in Taiwan in 1985. He gave an entire complete message on the children's work, the importance of the children's work in the church. It's in the book, Crucial Words of Leading in the Lord's Recovery, book 5. You might find it interesting to know that the first four chapters of that book are entitled Concerning the Gospel in the Schools. Concerning the Gospel in the Schools. Right away we think, oh, the campus work. Yeah, praise the Lord, campus work. But you don't even get two paragraphs into the chapter when you realize he's talking about the gospel work on the junior high campuses. Junior high work. Gospel work on a junior high and high school campuses. We thought, wow, we never did that. How to get the gospel onto a junior high school campus. We were reading this. We never thought of this. It never crossed our mind. We never had this as a piece of our work. So he gave four messages on this. On the fourth one, he's talking about prayer. You know, he always spoke about these things in a very organic, proper, healthy way. These were in the God-ordained way years, talking about the gospel on the high school and junior high campuses. I want you to tuck this away because we're going to revisit this point later today, because this is one of the key factors of our children's work and a big part of our preparation. What are you preparing them for? You're preparing to sow them as seeds of the gospel in the junior high schools. That's what we're getting them ready for. That's what our preparation is for. So then after he covered all that, he comes to this sixth message, fifth or sixth message, and it's the children's work. And it's like this. It's like, okay, we've got to do the gospel work on the campuses, universities, the high schools, and the junior highs. And that means we have to start in the children's work to get them ready for this, to prepare them for this. And this is one of the reasons why we refer to the children's work as a work of preparation. And so what he did is he began to give a historical account of the development of the children's work in the churches in the Lord's recovery. So he starts like this. In the past, we did not focus on the children's work. However, if children's education is not developed, it will be difficult to have a healthy society. He said, look at all the developing countries in the world. You know what they did? They put their kids in school. When Brother Lee went to Taiwan, Taiwan was a backward country, a third world nation in poverty, backward. Today, it's one of the developing nations of the world, very wealthy, very advanced in education and technology. How did they do that? They put their kids in school. That's what they did. You know, when you have these third world countries, all the kids have to work. They have to work in the fields. They have to work on the farms. But the parents have to sacrifice their farm and their food and their money. And instead of using their children in the work, they had to put their children in school. And it affects the whole nation. And the church is just like that. We have to have a certain thought that we're going to sacrifice something for the sake of raising up our next generation. In the past, we didn't focus on this. We're preaching the gospel. We're going to the campuses. We're doing Bibles for America or Bibles for Canada. We're trying to get the word out, the radio broadcast. We're doing all of this. But it might be that our children are just lost and they're not advancing and we don't have a thought concerning their development in the church life. I'm not talking about their development in the secular world, but in the church life. So he said in the beginning, in the past, we didn't have any thought about this at all, and we just did a general work. In another place, he said it was just a general kind of work. And then in Chifu, when he began to work there, eventually people started getting saved and coming into the church life, and they had children. So point two says this: at the beginning, the children's meeting was mainly to care for the saints who brought their children to the meeting. It was simply a child care service. Gradually, the matter of preparing teachers came in, and we compiled materials. Okay, so he said, as it developed, this is what happened. Saints started being added to the church. Children were coming in. And in order for us to release the parents to come to the meetings, we asked some saints to babysit them, to do a kind of child care service so that more brothers and sisters could be released to come to the meeting. So this touches now, we're going to touch in this outline a few functions of the children's work. And this is the first function. The first function, the most basic, fundamental purpose of the children's work, the children's meeting, is so that more saints could go to the meetings. That's what it's for. Sometimes the parents will drop their kids off to children's meeting and then they won't come to the meeting. That's not the function of the children's work. The function of the children's work is to release the parents to come to the meeting. That was the first and most basic function. From our experience, we feel that the children's work is very important. The children's work should not simply be babysitting in order for the saints to come to the meeting. So then they reach this conclusion. Okay, we're going to watch them, but now we've got them for 2 hours. At least we should do something. We need to infuse them with something, put some songs in them, give them some lessons, some instruction. And so we began to develop materials, lessons, and we began to develop something that we could do with the children while the parents were in the meetings. There's a some transcripts, some materials that have not been made available in English, so I can't show them to you, but I've read transcripts of some very interesting interactions that Brother Lee had with a group of sisters who were taking care of the children's work in Chifu many, many years ago. Hopefully, when the collected works goes back all the way to 1940, of Witness League, we'll get it. I don't know what the plan is. But let me tell you what this exchange was like. These sisters were asking Brother Lee, okay, so what should we teach the children? And Brother Lee said, don't teach them. Don't teach them. So I think probably like very good submissive and subservient sisters, they, okay, amen, Brother Lee. Don't teach. Amen. Okay. So what should we do? Don't teach. Okay. Two times he says, don't teach. So now the sisters are afraid to ask. How do we do this? What are we going to do? We got these kids, and you keep telling us, don't teach them. First they said, what should we teach them? He said, don't teach. Then, what should we do? It was funny to read this kind of exchange. Then the sisters got bothered with Brother Lee. We can't do anything. We can't do anything. He said, so then they said, well, okay, Brother Lee, but still, we got to do something. What should we do? He said, don't teach. Well, now, to me, that's very interesting. Why would Brother Lee say three times, don't teach? I mean, they didn't even ask him. They don't teach. Don't teach. Why would he do that? Well, later on, we came to know why he did that. He knew that that's what they wanted to do. They just couldn't wait to teach the children all the things of the Bible, to tell the stories, to give the lessons, and to teach them and teach them and teach them and get all this information into them. You know, you see these moms, and I hope I don't offend anybody. They got their little baby in the high chair, and the baby's like 9 months old or something. And the mom's got flashcards. You know, 1 + 1 = 2, you know, and the kid is, you know, there's food all over the face and kind of looking there, and the mom, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 4 = 8, and they're trying to teach the kids, you know, this kid is destined for Harvard, and I got to start early, you know, I got to get them thinking in the right way. And so we bring that thought to the church, and we think, man, if we could just get the Bible into them, get the Bible, and even the Bible says, you know, from a babe, Timothy, you knew the sacred writings, you know, so we got to read Deuteronomy to them, you know, and Leviticus, and we got to teach them. And what especially bothered Brother Lee was that we had these textbooks, these lesson books, that week one, we covered creation. Week two, we covered the tree of life. Week three, we covered the fall of man. And on the fourth week, Cain killed Abel. And every year, first week, creation. Second week, and so by the time these kids are 12 or 15 years old, I hate this story. Don't tell me about Cain and Abel anymore. I don't like, they got tired of it. This is why he said, don't teach. You want to do that. You want to do that. I know you want to do that. I know you can't wait to do that, but don't do that. So maybe this morning we'll all be like those sisters in Chifu. Okay, brother, what are we supposed to do then? You just took away everything. You just took away all of our materials. Maybe even took away our burden. Okay, so now let's look at the functions. But he said, from our experience, this point A under 2, from our experience, we feel that the children's work is very important. It should not simply be babysitting. However, the children's work has another function, that is to cultivate and nurture our next generation. This is worthy of careful consideration and examination. Okay, saints, we're going to be doing a careful consideration and examination. Okay, that's what we're doing. What do we do at this stage? The children's work has an additional function. Okay, first function, babysitting. Second one is to cultivate and nurture our next generation. Third function. The children's work has an additional function, which is to gain the families of the children. Now, this needs a little explanation. We'll go to point A. Children like to make friends. It is particularly easy for children between the ages of 6 and 12 to make friends, and they listen to their friends. Okay, based upon this, as soon as the kids go off to school, they begin to have a whole circle of friends. That's who he's talking about. This is why we have the children. This is one of the functions of the children's work, is to gain the friends of our children and to gain the families of the friends of our children. Think about that just for a minute. And tell me, has there ever been a children's work that was targeting the friends of our children and their families? If you want to enter into Brother Lee's mind and thought, this is a big point. This is huge. Next session, we'll be on this. It is therefore easy for a child to lead another child. When the children sing hymns together, the gospel is operating and spreads from one child to another. That means the child is singing the songs, and the friend listens to the songs and hears the songs, and it begins to operate in their friends. And then the kids teach their friends the songs, and they sing the songs together. Our purpose, however, is not focused only on the children, but even more through the children, we want to reach their parents and siblings. Okay, let's just pretend, just for a minute, we just migrated to Toronto. We just all arrived here, or wherever. And here we are, we're starting the children's work. We're starting the church life. We're building up various areas of the church. maybe a children's work, a young people's work, a campus work, a work for the young working saints, maybe something for the sisters. And here we are. We say, okay, saints, what is our view? What is our burden? Now we need to do a children's work. First function, we need to create a situation where the saints can come to the meetings in an unhindered way. A lot of kids. So let's get some saints, some young people together to babysit the kids. And then we realize, no, we need a second function. The second function is we have this golden opportunity to cultivate and nurture our next generation. And the third function, we realize the children open up doors in our community that we could never open up because they have a lot of friends. And as soon as we touch their friends, we can gain their families. This is a function of the children's work. Who would have thought of this? You know, I'm trying to save some of my points for later. But the way we think, the way we have thought for years, is that our children's work is just for our babies. And mainly we're trying to isolate them and keep them from all the bad influences, and we're putting them over here in a corner, and we're shielding their eyes from all the bad things. And in Brother Lee's mind, these kids can get into houses, into neighborhoods that we could never get into. You could go out and knock on doors, and people slam the door in your face, door after door after door. But your child has a best friend in that door, and as soon as that child comes into your home and becomes warm in your home, you can get access into that house just like that because of your child. We never thought of children's work like this. We never thought of this. This is what Brother Lee was dreaming. You know, in those days, he was dreaming of knocking on every door on the earth. He was. He was trying to figure out how he could get 500,000 young people go trekking all over the earth, knocking on every door on this earth to preach the gospel. So he was dreaming all kinds of things. And during that time, he began to speak about the children's work, opening up the neighborhoods, opening up the communities. I believe everyone who bears responsibility in the children's work, serving in the children's work, must receive this burden. This has to become an element, a factor in our children's labor. Okay. Point B, from this we can see the importance of the children's work. The children's work is greatly related to the growth of the church. Who would have ever thought? You know, maybe in the next session we'll touch this. In Taipei, he wanted them to get 10,000 children. The situation had happened there from about 1957 until 1965, a period of 7 or 8 years, there was a turmoil in Taiwan. And it was due to the fact that Austin Sparks had come there. In his second visit, he opposed greatly the ground of the church, the proper meeting on the ground. And this influenced a number of the young co-workers that had been saved by Brother Lee and brought into the work through him and were co-workers with Brother Lee. They had admired Austin Sparks' spirituality. They admired his ministry. And they felt that Austin Sparks was right and that Brother Lee was wrong, and that the brothers in Taiwan were behind, and that Austin Sparks had the way. And so they began to be very spiritual and to take this way. And Austin Sparks' way was to build up a ministry center. He did not have churches. He didn't have a church. He just had ministry centers for the release of the word and the release of the experience of Christ. They thought that was wonderful. And so they began to, they didn't leave the church life, but remaining in the church began to undermine the work. and undermine Brother Lee and undermine the elders and the direction of the church, and they began to take another way. And this continued for years. Because they remained in the church life, it was very difficult to deal with this. And so after a period of time, it reached a climax where Brother Lee had gone back. He had been living in America by this time. He went back and he cleared up the whole situation. But what happened was this. As turmoils often do, the whole young generation was wiped out. He said, look around, brothers. He was in a co-workers meeting. He said, look around, brothers. There's not one co-worker here under 40 years old. They're all gone. These young brothers that opposed and created this turmoil were the ones responsible for the campus work, for the young people's work, and for the children's work. And it was all wiped out. It was all wiped out. So when Brother Lee went back there to recover the church, to restore the testimony, essentially what he was telling them is you have to start with the children. Go grow a new crop. Scorched earth. Nothing grows here. It's flat. It's burned down. Everything, there's just dirt here. The way you start is by growing a new crop. He said, take a count. How many children do you have in the church in Taipei? He said, according to my estimation, you have about 4,000. Okay, then there's the discouraged ones, the defeated ones, the ones that got away. You have 4,000 in the church, 4,000. We only have 500 that are coming to the children's meeting right now, is what he said. And all of our attention is, you know, gospel marches, doing this and doing this. A lot of energy to preach the gospel and gain an increase. He said, you need to use these 4,000, get the relatives, the neighbors, the friends, the disappointed saints, and get 10,000 children. And work on them. Every year, for six years, you'll have 1,600 children. Every month, you'll be baptizing, what, 150? By the time they get to 12? Oh, in his mind, you know, Brother Lee was an accountant. And he began to calculate this. You get these kids. Now, 10,000 is an astronomical number. I understand that. And so maybe we should make this practical and just say, you give me your number. I don't know, is this an eraser? Is it okay if I use it for an eraser? I didn't want to be messing up somebody's... No problem. It's what he saw is that 100 becomes 200, 200 becomes 400, 400 becomes 800, 800 becomes 16, and so forth. And this kind of, he said, the multiplying is incredible. You cannot estimate the result of just doing children's work, starting with the children and multiplying. Suppose your number, I'll use my locality as an example, because it's easy, round numbers. We have about 100. Okay, what if in the 6 years of our children's work, we just asked the children to bring one friend, and we got them? That 100 becomes 200 by the time they got to sixth grade, okay? And then we sowed these 200 into the junior high schools as seeds of the gospel. Dream with me. Let's just fly away, okay? And maybe during those 2 years, you have 2 years of junior high, three, whatever, 2 years of junior high, those, they doubled again, became 400. And then we sowed them to high school. And then he said in high school, every year they brought forth remaining fruit, those became 1,600. And then we sowed them to the college. This is before campus work even starts. I, I doubt. I may be wrong. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I was in Anaheim, day one, responsible for the children's work. Maybe I'll just talk about myself. I never thought about this. This thought never crossed my mind. He said, how much effort do you spend to go get people to preach to God? How much money do you spend? How much effort you put out? He said, if you just would do this. It doesn't mean we shouldn't go preach the gospel. It doesn't mean we shouldn't do that. But he said, if we just did this. Okay, let's be conservative. Let's say only half of the kids brought a friend, and so we, instead of 200, we're at 150. And let's say only half of them doubled, then we, let's see, what would be, now it starts getting messy. 225, right? Okay, I'll take 225 any day. And then they go to high school, instead of four times, maybe only two times. So 225 becomes what, 450? 450 twice. Oh, no, four, just 450. Okay, I'll take those numbers any day. You know, this is a function of the children's work. This is why he said the importance of the children's work. It is greatly related to the increase of the church. You know, as I'm standing here, I'd just like to open up a little bit. What hopefully would issue out of what we're doing this weekend would that there would be a group, 5, 6, 8 saints who feel led by the Lord to pick up this burden, this vision. They would come together, they would pray, they would fellowship, they would read these messages again and again, enter into this burden, and tell the Lord, Lord, we'll work it out. In 1967, Brother Lee talked about 10,000 children. In 1977, he went back. I think he went back a lot of times, but in 1977, in one message, he said, 10 years ago, I told you to do this. It's a pity you didn't do what I said. 10 years have passed. The opportunity was just passing them by. You know, kids wait for no one. It's just like this conveyor belt. They're just moving right in front of us, and they're growing up. And the opportunity is here today. We might have 30 or 40, 50 children if we could begin to multiply them. Sadly, what our testimony is that our 100 has become 80, and these 80 have become 50. These 50 have become, you know, maybe 100, because it's 4 years instead of two. Our number began to reduce. The further we went down, the lower our number became. What do you think? I said this was going to be nice. I better keep it nice, huh? Okay. The children's work is greatly related to the growth of the church. Okay, then you ask the question, how do you do it? How do you do the children's work? Now we're those sisters in Chifu. How do we do it? So here's your answer. There is not a definite way to take care of the children's work. There should not be only one aspect of the children's work. There should be many locations for the children's work. Meetings can be held at different times. We can use different methods to conduct the children's meetings. There should also be many goals, and the teaching material should also cover many aspects. Many goals, many aspects, materials, locations, time, everything is a variety. What he was hoping is that every saint would open up their home to have a children's meeting. He estimated, I mean, he thought a lot of this through. He said, if we get 10,000 children and there's 20 in a house, 20 per home, we need 500 homes. Is that right? We need 500 homes opened up. And we need 500 moms plus 500 young people to join them, you know, to carry it out. There should be many locations for the children's work. You know, the meeting halls in Taiwan are not like this. You know, these standalone buildings with all these rooms. I mean, amazing rooms you've got here. But the meeting halls in Taiwan are just one room, maybe a little side room. But there's no place for children's work like we do here. So they have to use homes for that. So he was telling them, you got to open up your homes for this. Now they meet in a lot of districts, and they're in these high-rise apartment buildings, and floors 1 to 10 is District 1, and floors 10 to 20 is District 2, and so, you know, it's compacted like this. So they have the children's meeting in these different homes in the same apartment. I like this. He said there should be many goals. Maybe the goal of your children's meeting in your home is to gain your next door neighbor. Your goal may be to gain your cousin who lives down the street. You have these goals. What we're doing this morning is we're entering into Brother Lee's mind, his thought, his vision. Don't think about how this works, if we could do this. Don't go there yet. Let's just dream. Okay? One, having many locations, their meetings must have many locations. Every saint should open his home and have a children's meeting in his home. Having materials, we have considered using videotaped material, which some localities use. We want to produce a video that shows children from various countries wearing their traditional dress and singing the hymns. When he spoke this, this was soon after he began to have videotapes of the messages, you know, which we now have been appreciating. So much of his ministry was on videotape. The trainees in Anaheim, you know, they have a video class every Saturday morning where they get to watch messages by Brother Lee. They're right now watching the Ephesians life study messages given in 1978 or something. Brother Lee in 1978 was very active. He was very, very spry and full of vigor, much more than me. And the trainees that are now in the training, you know, if they're 22 now, Brother Lee died, what, 12, 13 years ago? They were nine years old when Brother Lee died. They don't know him. They never saw him. And so these videotapes, big help to show them Brother Lee. Well, during those days when the videotapes were just coming out, he had this thought, you know what we should do? We should go around the whole world and collect video clips of children's meetings in various countries, in various cultures, languages, attire, you know, and put it together and show it to the children. This is the children's meeting in Moscow. Wouldn't you love to see an opening of the children's meeting in Moscow singing the songs in Russian or Mexico City in Spanish? Or you could go to Bern, Switzerland and see the children's meeting carried out in German. Yeah, it'd be Swiss German in Bern. Or in Berlin, or in London, or in, how about Ethiopia? Oh, man. And suppose we had 50 of these. You know, you could get Korea. I mean, I'm just naming countries, but cities and churches. And you get them all singing one of these songs that everybody knows. It's the same tune, but it's the same song in all these languages. and you have a videotape, and you have a server somewhere where you've uploaded these 50 videotapes, and every week part of your opening is to show the children from another part of the world. I thought, man, this is awesome. This would be absolutely awesome. What effect this would have on the kids to realize that they're part of something that is so global, so big. That's a project that's waiting for someone to do. We need some of the tech guys from here and camera guys to prepare it. What do you think? Would you like your kids to see that? Every week you could have a different one, different country, and they could see it. That's what he said. When he said use videotape material, he's not talking about showing them Bambi or Little Mermaid in children's meeting. That's not the videotapes he was talking about. Point three, having many purposes, we can also contact the children's parents and preach the gospel to them and to their relatives. This is the principle of our gospel work. The more people we contact, the better. Having many ways, the households with children can take the initiative to open their homes and ask their children to invite other children in the neighborhood. The children can watch the children's videotapes, sing children's songs, or listen to a story. This is the way to have a children's meeting once a week. Many ways. Boy, at this time, he was just flying. He was just dreaming. Having different times, it is best to have different meeting times for the children's meeting. The schedule should be flexible. We need to utilize the time when the children are out of school to have the children's meeting. So he suggested after school or on the weekend, Saturday, Lord's Day afternoon. And I should mention something else that we noticed. There's two kinds of expressions. One is children's meeting, and the other is children's work. Children's work is a very broad expression, including many things. Children's meeting may apply to your neighborhood children's meeting, to the children's meeting on the Lord's Day. But the children's work is much broader than that. It includes your family life, the neighborhood children's meeting, the children's meeting on the Lord's Day. The scope is quite a bit larger. Okay, then he goes on. The way to carry out the children's work depends on the brothers taking the lead in the children's work. Okay, so now it's up to the what's our vision? What's our burden? How should we do this? In the past, this is what we've talked about, and I'll mention it here. There are three things, very, very critical things, that we have to get into these vessels when they're little. Before they are 12 years old, before they are humanly of age. You know, the outline mentions 12 years old. I don't believe this is a strict number or a legal number. But in Luke chapter 2, the Lord was 12 years old when he went in to discuss with those scribes and the leaders in the temple and was left behind by his parents when they returned home. And in the footnotes in Luke chapter 2, where it speaks about this, it says that a child becomes, a Jewish child at 12 years old, becomes a child of the law at 12 years old. That means they become accountable for their behavior. It might be that up until you're 12, in those days, I don't really know. I don't know Jewish tradition or history. But my impression is this. If you're 10 and you steal, he's just a kid. Come on. And then, of course, the parents take him home and beat him, you know. But as far as God is concerned, as far as the law is concerned, it doesn't recognize him. But after he becomes 12, he becomes accountable. Now if he steals, not only does he get a whipping, but he has to bring a turtle dove, a trespass offering. Now he's accountable for his behavior before God. So this stage right here, the stage of preparation, we have to put some very critical things into them. And all these things are in these outlines, but I'm going to speed ahead because it'll take too long tomorrow or tonight and tomorrow to get into it. The first one is there is God. The existence of God. Today we notice that young people don't have any kind of fear of God. People don't have any kind of fear of God today. And so you wonder, where does that come from? How do you get it? Can you teach it? Can you learn it? And the fear of God flows from the existence of God. This is point number one. Every lesson, it's not just a course. It's not a topic. It's a overarching burden that every one of our lessons has to impress them. God, 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 there's a God, Almighty God. God is love. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He knows everything. He made the heavens, the earth. God did that. God loves you. God is God, 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 God. Everything is God. From the day they go to school till they graduate from their graduate studies, the existence of God is going to be challenged by their professors, by their teachers. Today, the liberal education system is atheistic. It's atheism. It's against God. And so we have to get this in early. We have to get it in very strong, powerful, that there is a God. This is the first thing that we have to impress them with. This is how you prepare them. The second point is related to creation, that He is the creator and that He made the creation. When we talk about God, we might be tempted to talk about God in a doctrinal way. He is triune. He is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That's not how you talk about God to a child. You talk about God like in a very general way, in a very not mysterious, objective way. Then you talk about creation, and we're all tempted. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is how we do it. We teach creation in a doctrinal way. On day one, God said what? Let there be light. On day two, what did He do? Oh, He separated the firmament above and the firmament below, right? So we have 1 week on day one, 1 week on day two. And then on the third day, hallelujah, the dry land appeared. Oh, and by the way, the dry land is a type of Christ in resurrection. And then the fourth day lights. And we're enjoying, you know, the life study and all this, and we just can't help ourselves. We just want to tell the kids all these doctrines. Well, this will damage them. When you want to talk about creation, what you have to do is you have to talk about the wonder of creation, not the doctrine of creation. Talk about a flower. Talk about a tree. Talk about a bird. Talk about a fish. Talk about the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets. Then ask them, who did that? How did that get there? How does it stay there? How does it keep revolving? How does it do that? Talk about a silkworm and the four stages of a silkworm. Why would God go to the trouble of making a stupid worm have four stages? The design is unbelievable. How it works, what it does, is mind-boggling. The wonder. If you can bring the children into the wonder of God's creation, and then you conclude, God did that. God made that. The Bible tells us the invisible things of God, you know. He's mysterious, invisible. His divine power, or His divine characteristics, His eternal power, are manifested by the things that were made. Silkworms tell us that. Silkworms tell us there's God. Look at the divine characteristics, the wisdom. Metamorphosis, you know. How the trees and the plants, they breathe carbon dioxide, and all the people and animals breathe oxygen. We breathe oxygen, we breathe out carbon dioxide. The trees are going, thank you. And they're breathing in carbon dioxide, and we stand next to each other. Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, huh? They keep us alive, we keep them alive. Who figured that out? And how did that happen? What if there's all these plants and there's no people, no animals? The trees die, the plants die. And then what if there's all these people and there's no trees, no plants? Somebody figured this out. And they knew how to bring it into being like this so that there was enough to keep it all going. We have to talk about the wonder of creation. The kids need to know this. Then when their crazy professors, I hope there's no crazy professors here today, begin to say that this evolved, it all happened at some amoeba somewhere back when, crawled up onto the sand out of the water and Earth came into being, they're going to be laughing inside. No, no, no. You're crazy. You have no idea what you're talking about. My children's meeting teacher told me about silkworms. And when I saw silkworms, I saw God. God did that. Third thing the kids need is humanity. We call this the preciousness of humanity. Humanity. This is the third thing. We have a whole meeting on this tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow morning. Building up the children in their humanity. They need to become proper human beings. The human virtues within their created human vessel needs to be developed so that when the divine attributes, the rich, boundless God, enters into these little human vessels, he can shine through them, through their human virtues brightly. Okay. There it is. You got it. It'll take you about a year to figure this out. At least it took me more than that. Let me finish the outline, then leave a little time for you. I'll read point B again. The way to carry out the children's work depends on the brothers taking the lead in the children's work. We should not make any special arrangements to get teachers for the children's meeting in the meeting halls. Rather, we should find a number of younger brothers and sisters who meet regularly to be the teachers. This kind of service does not require much manpower. This point needs an explanation because they have all these neighborhood children's meetings going on all over the city all week. Then on the Lord's Day, what they practiced was that the families would bring the children to the meetings on the Lord's Day, and we didn't do a full-blown children's meeting. This is Taipei. This is not here. And so we put them all in a room, and we have just two young people taking care of all of them. That's what he's saying here. He was applying this in a particular way to the particular situation that still is existing there in Taiwan, where they don't have this kind of facility. In North America, if we don't do something with the children on the Lord's Day, we're not even considered to be a normal, viable Christian group. We won't have that kind of respect. People will not come. People go to their church because of who takes care of their children. We have to have a children's work that is attractive, strong, prevailing even in one place, he says. Point two, we need to prepare material for the children's meeting. We should not have the children's meeting without preparation. In other words, don't just wing it. Oh, how many times? You know, we all got these lessons. They were photocopies of photocopies of photocopies. And we turn to and it's got like 10 facts to teach. Burden to impart. You know, I don't know, you use the same ones. Yeah, maybe you do. I don't know. And it's Lord's Day morning. You wake up. Meeting starts at 10 and it's 9:30. You know, you just kicked out of bed. And the thought, Boink. Are you on children's meeting this morning? Let me check. I get out the Excel file. Oh, no. I'm on children's meeting. So then they quickly get their paper. Oh, here's the lesson. It's on second grade girls. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay. See, even when we teach the law in a doctrinal way. We got to at least give one lesson or two lessons to thou shalt not commit adultery to seven-year-olds. Okay. Facts to teach. Yeah. I got this. And then they go to the meeting. I don't think anybody here would function like that. Do you? How do you think I know this? Okay, sorry. We should not have children's meeting without preparation. To carry out this vision, this kind of burden, I mentioned last night, we only have about 300 Lord's days. And we got incredible work to do. We don't have enough time. We can't waste 1 week. The brothers taking the lead in the children's work need to write and compile material, but the saints can decide the best way to use it. He wanted the serving ones, the teachers, to all be trained so that they could use the materials. They could dream it up. They could plan it, prepare it, and carry it out themselves. If some saints are designated to prepare teaching material, the saints will not need to labor that much. We can give only some principles related to the children's work. It's up to the saints to carry them out. The children's meeting should be in many locations at different times and use different methods. We hope that all the saints will pray concerning this matter and not take it lightly. This requires everyone's cooperation. This last point speaks about prayer and coordination. So I'll mention this point again. I just hope that as we touch this matter and enter into this burden, there will be some saints. Maybe some will come together out of a burden. And then maybe the brothers, the leading ones, can appoint or ask certain ones to pick it up. And they could labor on this work with the same kind of burden and intensity that we give to the campus work. It's no less important. In fact, wait to the next session. I have a little surprise for you. So come back this evening. So I'm going to stop here. The importance of the children's work in the church. We have, again, about 6 minutes. Sorry, I don't leave you very much time. But it might be good for us to have some sharing. I think it's always good. No message is really very complete until someone says something. Amen. Okay. I think the mics are here. The brothers will need to position them, but maybe a few saints could share something.